don't know what the hell happened last night in Memphis. Didn't make much sense to me. That's why I got my two boys here, Wendy and Jay, to explain it. Maybe they can explain why Dylan Brooks is out there talking smack. Maybe they can tell me whether or not LeBron James is going to do something about it. Because when we expected Anthony Davis to, nothing happened. That's just one of the things we're going to talk about today. There's a whole lot more. Jay Will, Wendy, your boy in the house with Two Tone. You'll see what I'm talking about in a second. First Takes in the house. Let's go.
Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Stephen A.
Hey,
Molly. It's great to have you. I haven't been on TV with you in so long.
It's been a while.
I know. It's great to have you back. How's everyone feeling?
I mean, the jacket, I approve.
Yes.
I approve.
This is a custom Andre Julius.
I like
so shout to him.
Why? I approve. I might do one of those one day.
Okay.
One day. I might.
Well,
I might. But
you need the plug.
Ryan Clark already beat me to it, so I don't really want to copy him because I don't need to. But it looks nice.
Yeah. Shout to RC for the connection
miracles
as well.
Miracles happen.
All right. We ready to talk some hoops, folks?
Let's do it.
Also, by the way, NFL draft 1 week away. Let's go. Dylan Brooks calls LeBron James old after the Grizzlies game two win. The two exchange words in the third quarter, with Brooks saying James called him dumb for having picked up his fourth foul. After the Memphis series tying win, one that came with John Morant on the sideline with a hand injury, Brooks critiqued the Lakers star, saying he's not at the same level that he was winning championships in Cleveland and Miami. Here's more from Brooks.
You and LeBron have that exchange. There are people out there that say maybe you shouldn't do that with one of the better players in the game. What were you thinking?
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40.
Okay, gentlemen. I'm starting with you. Fire it up, baby. Let's go, Jay Will. What do you think? Should Brooks poke the LeBron bear?
Do it all you want. He's already been doing it. He did this before the series even started. He asked for it. He said, you know what? Yeah, I would love to play against LeBron. I mean, you can Google it. You can look it up. You know what happens, Stephen A., on pickup games in basketball? And I think everybody that's ever played basketball knows this. When you're waiting on the sideline for that game and there's one dude who's barking, who's yapping while he's playing, his team just won, and he's like, yeah, I want you, I want you. And then when they get you and they win the game and you're sitting back on the sideline, everybody knows that you just got pumped, right? So regardless of whether LeBron James had 28 points or not, his team got pumped in that game without Ja Morant. Not only without Ja Morant, without Steven Adams, without Brandon Clark. So we'll get into the lack of energy to start off the game. But to me, this is like the city of Gotham putting the bat signal up in the sky saying, we're waiting for you, Batman. We're waiting for you. Are you going to come to play? And my question is, I don't need to see passive LeBron James. I need to see the villain LeBron James from the Miami Heat days that says, okay, challenge accepted. I am going to bring it. I am going to bark back. Please, thank you for bringing the best version of me out of me on the stage that it matters the most. Now we're going back home, and now I want to see it. And AD, D'Lo, we can talk about what the rest of the team needs to do, but I don't want to see LeBron James ease himself into games anymore. That's all we talk about. Like, well, you know, LeBron lets the game come to him. I need to see LeBron James take it to the game and be aggressive right from the beginning, because basketball players, that's what we do when somebody calls you out and calls you old to the public when we've seen LeBron James be the player we know he always is, because he's been that way this year.
Go ahead, Wendy.
This is a trap. It's a trap to try to get LeBron to try to want to score, because that's what the Grizzlies need to happen. Say whatever you want about Dylan Brooks. He's savvy. He's made himself a big name for a guy who's a role player, going to be a free agent. He is leading this show because of what he said. We've seen this before. I've seen this since LeBron was in his early 20s, when this was Deshaun Stevenson with the Wizards 15, 18 years ago. But in this particular case, it's a trap. This is the kind of stuff that Draymond Green has done over his career, because Draymond Green is smart. Draymond Green knows how to instigate the opponent and get it on to the Warriors' favor. Last night, the Grizzlies won for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons was that LeBron took 9 more shots than Anthony Davis. If LeBron is the focus of the Lakers offense, if LeBron is out there trying to get 40, that favors the Grizzlies. What the Grizzlies can't handle is Anthony Davis. In game one, where the Lakers won, Anthony Davis took 1 more shot than LeBron. He was a dominant force, particularly at the defensive end. But they need that. So there is nobody I've ever met in the NBA who is smarter than LeBron James. So I suspect he will not fall into this. Although there is some evidence in the past that poking LeBron in a playoff series can get you marginal short-term benefits. There's a couple of instances I could point out that happened with Lance Stephenson, that happened with the Dallas Mavericks back in the 2011 finals. But generally, LeBron is probably smart enough to ignore this. But in addition to just getting attention, don't mistake the fact that Dylan Brooks is making a strategy play here to put a big hunk of flesh on a bait for LeBron to ignore Anthony Davis. The Lakers can't take it. LeBron can't take it.
Brian Windhorst, it's a rare, rare moment when you show up on this show and I completely disagree with you. This is one of those moments. And I want you to listen to your boy Stephen A. and listen good, okay? This is basketball. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about a series, you're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong about what you said. But you and I know, just like Jay Williams knows, there are moments that matter. And moments are never more applicable and never more embraced than in the sport of basketball. Because you see, yes, you could argue boxes. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's only 2 of y'all in the ring. We get all of that. Tennis court, fine, obviously so. But when you talk about a team sport, basketball is what it's all about in this regard. When you chirp like Dylan Brooks chirped last night, now you got to bust his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my language. You literally got to do that.
Don't excuse yourself.
I'm not talking about games 4, 5, 6, 7 winning the series. I'm talking in a game where you make a statement and you remind them who the hell you are. And this is one of those moments if you are LeBron James. Now, I understand that you're pointing to Anthony Davis. Wendy, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about the 9 more shots of Anthony Davis. Did you see how Anthony Davis looked last night? Did you see him? Did you see him? He looked like the entire game, he looked like he just woke up and was rubbing his eyes and struggling just to get it going the whole game. That's why LeBron shot so many more shots than him, because Anthony Davis never showed up last night. Now, you could go, and I know you saw the game from start to finish. You know your basketball. So you watch Anthony Davis from the opening tip. He never showed up. He was sleepwalking in game 2, period. LeBron James had to do that. But what I'm trying to say is that LeBron, because as we all know, the brilliant basketball savant that he is, he knows how to play the game and not necessarily take the bait and still drop 40. That's what I'm saying. I'm not telling them to ignore the team. I'm not telling them to ignore strategy. I'm not telling them to just go out there and jack up shots. I'm saying you can be LeBron doing what you normally do to win while busting his you-know-what in the process, because he ain't on LeBron's level. And LeBron, yes, you are old in basketball parlance, but we haven't seen somebody this old look this brilliant the way LeBron James can. As far as I'm concerned, he's been the one consistent component for the Los Angeles Lakers that has shown up in the first 2 games. And last point.
Preach.
Brian Windhorst, you'd have never said that about Kobe.
Ooh.
You'd have never said that about Michael Jordan. They were assassins, and I know they're totally different than LeBron James in terms of their mental makeup, their mental approach to it. But there are moments when LeBron has showed us, y'all must have forgot who the hell I am. Let me remind you. There has been moments in his career when he has done that. I'm simply saying, game 3 at the Crypto.com Arena, the Lakers whole playoff game, their first one of this postseason, go out there and put on a show and make a statement. That's what I think LeBron needs to do in this game. Mm. This game.
And
Wendy,
can I say
this game?
Just with Stephen A., the trap doesn't mean that you need to come out and take 30 shots. Reverse engineer it.
The trap just should lead to you being aggressive 24/7 and pushing your teammates and yourself. Like, so for me, it's more the energy in which LeBron approaches the game that is the setup mechanism for him to dominate the game. Right? Like, that's the thing that's missing from here. It's not, hey, just let me ease into the rhythm. Let me build the lather. It's, let me get my lather before the game even starts, because once this game kicks off, I'm about to go into bust your head open to the white meat mode. And that's what I want to see from LeBron James, because I think that trickle-down effect will help Anthony Davis and will help D'Lo.
All right.
Okay, you guys are working as agents for Dylan Brooks right now. This is exactly what he wants. He wants you to put pressure on LeBron. Mm-hmm. He wants you to call LeBron to go shoot those shots and forget about Anthony Davis. Just so you know, you heard it here on Thursday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's move it forward here, guys. So obviously facing a Grizzlies team missing its superstar in Ja Morant, as we mentioned, with a chance to go up 2-0, Anthony Davis struggled as the Lakers scored a season-low 93 points. Davis shot 29% from the field, his worst field goal percentage in a playoff game in his career in which he took 10 shots. Here's AD on a rough night.
Obviously, I have to be better with that group. Can't have a night like I had tonight and expect us to win.
All right. Stephen A., how disappointing was the Lakers' performance?
It was shameful, especially by Anthony Davis. He should be ashamed of himself the way he played last night. I will remind you that Steven Adams is gone. I will remind you that Brandon Clark is gone. I will remind you that some dude named Xavier Tillman rolled up in there and had 22 points and 13 rebounds. That's a shameful performance. You know, coming into this series, long before Ja Morant got hurt, Anthony Davis had to be the focus, which you just alluded to, Wendy. You get him the ball, you got to figure out a way to stop him. The monstrous performance that he was putting forth, how aggressive he was in game one, that's what you said, all right, this is what they're going to do, because it's right there for them. You can't guard Anthony Davis. Only person that's got a shot is Jared Jackson, and you don't ease prone to foul trouble, so you want to shield that. I saw Desmond Bain, who's this stocky and powerful, there's no doubt about that, but I saw Desmond Bain guarding Anthony Davis. I saw a whole bunch of people. There was one possession. I saw Tyus Jones on him. Tyus Jones. I'm just saying. You understand? I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, yo, you got to come out there. I'm that dude. Look at the matchup. I got to be here for my boys. Come to me. I got to make sure I get enough sleep. I got to make sure I'm not tired and lethargic and open the tip off. I got to be ready to roll, because this is my series. I don't have – we've been long and tell me if I'm wrong, Wendy and Jay. How many years have everybody been raving about? We look at these dudes in the league. Who's religiously been called one of the strongest dudes in the NBA? Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Adams. Everybody took this as an ox, just a bull. This guy's powerful. Y'all don't have any idea. I remember Jimmy Butler told me one time, man, you have no idea how strong this dude is. It's crazy. He's out. You don't have to deal with him. Brandon Clark, he's out. You don't have to deal with him. It's your series. And you don't show up for a game two. Do you know what kind of hold that puts Memphis in if they're down 0-2, having to go back to L.A., no Ja Morant in game two, possibly no Ja Morant for game three? You could secure the series. And Anthony Davis didn't show up. That three-pointer that he had at the end of the game with 59 seconds left don't mean a damn thing to me. He had three shots. He was 2 of 12 after three quarters and attempted two shots in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis against a Memphis squad with no bigs to contend with, really. And he was nowhere to be found. That is unconscionable. I don't expect it to happen in game three, but it happened in game two. And if this becomes a series, enough time for Ja Morant to get back, and God forbid you lose this series, we're going to look at game two as a missed opportunity. And that missed opportunity was by one man. I know they weren't shooting the ball well. I get that. But damn it, that's the Lakers sometimes. But the one person that you were supposed to be able to rely upon, that literally looks like the big man on campus with a bunch of small dudes around him, was Anthony Davis. And he was a no-show. Period. Shameful performance. Shameful.
You said the name Xavier Tillman, 32nd pick in the second round of the NBA draft in 2020. Yes. Gave the business to Anthony Davis. Now, they threw a whole bunch of coverage at AD. He got double-teamed, triple-teamed. I get the physicality of the game. You know, even when he checked back in after the cut over his eye, you just wanted him to be aggressive. But when I think about the two teams in L.A., the Clippers and the Lakers, think about this for 1 second. The Clippers had a split with Phoenix in Phoenix. That felt like a positive, right? Clippers were down. Paul George walked into Phoenix, got a win on the road with Russell Westbrook not having the best offensive shooter night, but making plays defensively in game one down the stretch, and Kawhi Leonard being the best player on the floor. That was a positive. They got a split. But the Lakers in Memphis splitting, to me, that's a loss. That's a loss because they should be going back to L.A. being up 2-0 in this series. And the thing I'm going to say about it too, Stephen A. and Wendy, on this one is, for me, it was just they are a better team overall than the Memphis Grizzlies. Slightly, I would say, even with Ja Morant, I would give them the slight edge in the half court because of their sides and how they can muck it up. They were still the better team middle of the third quarter all the way into the end of the game. The deficit was just so bad that they couldn't pull it out. But the reason that I'm so disappointed in them is the fact that I don't know how you don't start that game off with energy, man, from the bat. Because for me, Stephen A., if I know you're down, not one player, not two players, three players from the jump.
Smelling blood.
From the jump. This is over. Plus, the sooner we win this series,
more rest.
I'm watching Sacramento and Golden State. I'm picking Golden State to win tonight. And this, you don't think that's going to go six or seven games? That gives us an advantage going into the next series against the winner of that series. So I think it was a major – I still have the Lakers' favorite to win it. I think it was just a major missed opportunity for the Lake Show.
Yeah, I see this happen every year in the playoffs. I saw it happen the day before with the Knicks. You know when you're up 1-0 on the road that that team is going to come out playing for their season. Because if the Cavs lost to the Knicks the other night, they were done. If the Grizzlies lost last night, they were probably done. And so you know they're going to play that way. And Jay, you just said if you were in that Lakers locker room when you heard shortly before the game that Ja was out, your reaction to that isn't to throw your shoulders back and take it easy. Your reaction to that is to start bouncing off the walls to say, okay, we have the opportunity. And let me say something about timing in this series. Timing switches towards the Grizzlies' favor here. Health is not on their side, but timing might be on their side. Number one, there's 2 days off between games 2 and 3. That gives Ja, you know, he is 5 days off the injury to get a chance to play with that hand. I have no idea what he's going to be able to play, but I know it's a lot better with 1 day than two, or 2 days than one. The Clippers, okay? The Clippers and the Suns play game 4 on Saturday before the Lakers play game 3. Clippers Suns, 4 games will be over before the Lakers come out for game 3. And then it flips. Then over the next 7 days, this series could play 4 games with cities that are 4 hours apart by plane. And the Grizzlies have the youngest team in the playoffs. So, look, 1-1 is a victory for the Lakers to come back 1-1, have the home court. But the opportunity to headlock the series last night, to come out with that effort level knowing that, it's the reason why this team's a 7 seed. Because even though they were inferior early in the season with their roster, one of the reasons they're back where they are is because they don't have that kind of mentality, and they're still paying for it.
Well, see, here's the crime. The crime is the one person we're not accusing of that is the oldest player on the team, who's in his 20th season. Now, we're making noise about LeBron because Dylan Brooks is chirping at him, and what we're saying is handle that. Handle that. You understand? But the fact of the matter is, LeBron, when Brooks is directly guarding him, shoot 50% from the field in both games against Dylan Brooks, including 3 of 5 from three-point range. This is what he's doing to Dylan Brooks straight up. The point that I'm making is that ain't even a big deal. The reality is when you look at LeBron James and you see him playing, yes, there have been moments where you say a little extra, but you understand he's pacing himself because he knows what he's got to do because he's been here 1,000 times. He knows what it takes. We weren't looking at the Lakers and questioning LeBron's energy. If we're questioning LeBron, it's because of what he was incapable of peeling out of his teammates. Not him. You're looking at these guys and you're saying to the rest of them, how is the oldest player with the most titles, who's been in the most finals, who's played more minutes, more games than most of y'all combined, how is that dude in his 20th year in better shape, more spry, more ready to go from opening tap than you? How does that happen? And so to me, where Anthony Davis becomes such a culprit is because LeBron might want these other players and he might settle for these other players and what have you. But that's the guy he wanted most. That's the guy he vouched for. That's the guy he loves so much, Anthony Davis. And yes, you helped deliver with a championship. But it's moments like that last night, I'm going to go here. It's moments like that I've never deflated or minimized the championship in the bubble. As far as I'm concerned, those are very ideal circumstances. We've never seen anything like that in our history with the pandemic and stuff like that. The stuff dudes had to go through, major props. I would never diminish the significance of the championship, Jay, Wendy. What I will say is this. When it comes to Anthony Davis, it doesn't escape me that critics say that four-month gap between the season being postponed and then resumed was of great assistance to him, because we are of the mindset that if the season was never interrupted, Anthony Davis wouldn't have made it through the season.
Yeah.
And when they say that, you ignore it because they get you're trying to minimize his championship. He's a champion. He did it. But then when you see stuff like last night, it's like, damn, bro, this man needs you. This is your time. This series, you got to look out. You can't just not show up. We're talking energy. We ain't talking missed shots or whatever. We're talking lethargy. That's what Anthony Davis showed up with last night, and that's why it's unconscionable, because he left LeBron hanging.
Yeah.
He left LeBron hanging.
And it's personal for you, Stephen A., because it's less time in L.A.
I wasn't going to be there anyway. I can't go back for a few weeks.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You mentioned the word critical. You were critical, Stephen A., of the NBA yesterday, and normally you're not. So I want to get into that. So the NBA suspended Draymond Green for one game for stepping on the chest of the Sacramento Kings' Domantas Sabonis. Green will serve his suspension tonight when the Warriors host the Kings in Game 3 at Chase Center. Sacramento hold the 2-0 lead in the series. Here's the executive VP of basketball ops, Joe Dumars, with more.
The act itself. Okay, the we felt over the top and excessive, the conduct detrimental, some of the things that went on after the incident, and then also repeat offender. We think in totality, you take all three of those things, and that's where you end up landing with a suspension.
You know, we've been here before, and we got to play a game tomorrow night. Once these decisions are made, there's no appellate court. It's over. So you can react however you want to react, but it doesn't change the fact he's not playing, and we got a game tomorrow night.
Stephen A.
Yeah.
Does that sound from Dumars or Myers change the way you feel about it?
Not at all. I was disgusted yesterday. I'm even more disgusted now.
Why?
And in the interest of full disclosure, I go back decades with the great Joe Dumars. I go back many years with Commissioner Adam Silver. I love them both. Talk to them as often as I possibly can. Mad respect, love, and adulation for all of them. Just not today. Today, as in yesterday, I was disgusted by this decision. I'm sick and tired, Wendy and Jay, of folks walking around acting like the playoffs are just another game. It's not just another game.
Right.
It's not just another game. It matters. You got people out here. I understand they're going to make their money. It's well-deserved. The league, the iconic brand that it is, the iconic global brand that it is well-deserved. You got a new collective bargaining agreement. But what was the thing you were concerned about? The fans. It was about player availability. Now, obviously, this is not that for the same reasons, but it still comes down to the same thing. The fan is being deprived. What really, really happened? Did Sabonis not instigate it? Did he not grab Draymond Green's ankle? That is a fact. It happened. Did anybody say that Draymond didn't deserve to be ejected? No, not even the Warriors. Everyone knows he deserved to be ejected from the game. But when you see Damian Lillard and others complaining over social media about the suspension, they're absolutely right. Because considering the climate, considering the fervor, the fans, they're 90 minutes apart. You know how rabid it was going to be. And Damian Woody came in during a commercial break yesterday and pointed out, Draymond whooping it up with the crowd and stuff like that probably factored in to the equation as well. To me, that's utterly ridiculous, too. They're the enemy, and you're talking smack to them. That's all. That's all you're doing. This is intense. It's been a little physical. J.J. Redick highlighted how the officials had let numerous calls, you know, let him go that took place with Sabonis already in the series, tripping, hitting people in the back, grabbing their legs. And this time, in this occasion, he grabbed Draymond's ankle. The NBA knows all of this. And I pointed this out yesterday. And again, love Joe Dumars. That's my brother. I love him to death. It was just a bit ironic to hear that explanation coming from a former bad boy. It was just a bit ironic to see that happen. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that statement came there. I'm like, come on, y'all. The only point that I want to make more than anything like this, if this were the regular season, I'm not sweating it. But it's very little that grates me more than a fan. Come playoff time, the letter of the law, the rule, and be consistent. Hell no. The playoffs matter. It's different. Do you understand that if the Golden State Warriors bow out in this, if they lose tonight, series over. Lose tonight, series over. In five at the most, okay? You understand that an organization like the Golden State Warriors can end up losing about $100 million? You understand that the players get a portion of those dollars? And that's compromising their pockets as well. If the series ain't going long, if they're not extending themselves deep into the postseason, these things could be compromised. But I'm not even going there. I'm simply saying, yo, fellas, it's the playoffs. You got to have a bigger reason than that to suspend a man for the next game. Mm.
Let me kick this thing off by saying something that's different first. I actually want to applaud the Sacramento Kings, Stephen A.
Okay.
And Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
On gamesmanship.
Okay.
Well done.
Right.
Well done by Sabonis to sell it, to make you believe that there actually is a contusion on the chest. Because, by the way, the following play, he dunked the ball.
That's right.
He dunked the ball the following play, Wendy. Right? But now we're wondering if he's questionable for game three. And the x-ray that they got, that Woj reported, well done by Sacramento. I'll give you all the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. I want to actually break down one thing that Joe Dumars talked about. And Wendy, I know that your point about him working for the Kings, I'm going to allow you to get into that because that's another conspiracy thing that people are going to run away with, and it's a valid point. The second act, though, Stephen A., the act of conduct detrimental to the league. That's what we're doing, or that's how we're building a narrative around players that are talking trash back to fans. Like that's conduct detrimental to the league. Like, is that supposed to make me think that that is somewhat similar to Malice in the Palace? Like, that was conduct detrimental to the league.
Right.
So how are we scaling what that conduct really is? And I get the history aspects of it, but I do wonder, even though I know that your reputation precedes you, lines like that stick out there. Mm-hmm. When does that stuff get expunged off your record to a degree? Like, we're always going back to 2016. Are we saying, like, and I know that he was tied for second in technical fouls, but, like, are we always going to go back to 2016 with the kick or Steven Adams as reference points to, well, there's a history there. If you actually watch the clip in slow-mo, the reason why Domantas Sabonis' body gets lifted off the ground, he's holding on to his foot that gets lifted off the ground. Now, I'm not condoning the stomp, but one bad reaction begets another bad reaction. I'm not making excuses for it. All I'm saying is the ejection, in my opinion, Wendy, was enough. That should have been it. Let the players decide this series, especially when we understand the history of how soft the NBA has been on suspensions around the league in general.
Yeah, something happened yesterday that I thought was impossible. I mean, there was a tidal wave of reaction within the league, as you can imagine. The Warriors became sympathetic figures. Guys, the league doesn't like the Warriors. When the CBA comes out and everybody understands everything that happened, you're going to see that the CBA was written essentially to kneecap the Warriors from remaining good. Like, there's
that
like
is correct.
10 different things in there, and the Clippers and the Nets. But like, the whole league attacked the Warriors because they've got so much money they can spend, and they've got great players, and they've got these advantages, and maybe because they're a little bit arrogant. But yesterday, there were people saying to me left and right, they were wronged. I haven't heard anybody say the Warriors were wronged in a decade, okay? And so that tells you. And one of the things is that generally, for the last decade since Adam Silver has been in the chair, whoever his lead of discipline is has generally followed his lead, which is to go a little bit softer on player discipline. It's been a general thing that's happened. Not in every case, but generally it's happened. And Joe Dumars is in his first year on the job, and he could be in this job for 5 more years. And if he is, good luck to him, because it's a miserable job. You get complained at every single day of the season. Nobody likes doing it. But he could be in this job for 5 years, guys, and not have a decision as consequential as this one. And he was in the eye of the fire here, because, as you mentioned, Jay, he was an employee of the Kings until he left for this job. You know, he had relationship with Vivek Ranadive as a consultant, but he's also extremely close to Draymond Green. Draymond in the past has called Joe Dumars a father figure. Yes. When Draymond was coming up in Michigan and playing at Michigan State, Joe Dumars was remains an icon in Michigan basketball. Mm-hmm. He advised him and remains to this day to have a good relationship. And by the way, that's not unusual for the league office. You have someone like Joe Dumars who's been around the league for 40 years, you're going to have connections. But the gravity of this decision, with all that stuff in play, it was very surprising that they would sort of go out of pocket. And one more thing I'll say. The Joe and the league, obviously, with Adam Silver's approval. I mean, Adam Silver has veto power on these kinds of things. Draymond would not be suspended if Adam Silver didn't give the thumbs up on it. I mean, I do believe it was Joe Dumars' decision, but Adam Silver had to ratify it. The league generally has not been that using of past behavior. Again, generally. And I don't have to go back too far. Let me just go back about 10 days or whatever it was, a week ago, when the Dallas Mavericks were fined for admitting that they were tanking. That has happened in the past, recently. And other things have happened in terms of the operations of the Mavericks franchise that would sort of play into recent behavior. And they generally got off with a slap on the wrist. So 2 weeks ago, past behavior didn't matter. Now, in a vital moment, it matters a lot. And it's that inconsistency that and for this to be the moment, this time, in the middle of a playoff series, for that to change, that has really stunned the league.
Well, that's heightened the level of of annoyance, of skepticism aimed in the direction of the NBA league office. And it certainly justifies the ire emanating from the Golden State Warriors franchise because they understand the inconsistencies and how unfair this particular situation is. And to point to Jay's point about, you know, really, really bringing up his behavior to the crowd loves that. No, you don't want to fight. You don't want to throw something at the guy or anything like that. But to have a player acknowledging you and talking, and he wasn't talking to one person. He was talking to the arena. Like, we coming. It's just one game. We'll see y'all. Who doesn't want that? Sometimes I'm looking at, and of course this is not true, because obviously former players are draped all over the league. The league is very, very good about really, really ingratiating themselves with the older generation of players, making sure that they have some input with decisions and stuff like that. But sometimes you wonder, have they ever played? Because how is this a problem? The fans love this. No, there is no series going on right now more exciting than the Golden State Warriors versus the Sacramento Kings. There's no crowd that has been better than Sacramento. Yeah. All of that fervor, that's what you're looking for. And to beat a man, Wendy, you got to beat the man.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about strategizing, Sacramento strategizing, no doubt led by Mike Brown, the unanimous coach of the year. Well, well-deserved. Obviously, I voted for him. He was unanimous. But in the end, you want to win at all costs. Here's what I would say to y'all. We want everybody on the court because we don't want excuses. Mm-hmm. We don't want to point to suspensions manipulating the proceedings. And unfortunately, now we're going to look at that. They lose game three. We're going to point to this suspension about the series.
Absolutely. We got to leave it there. But that's also why we clamor for playoff basketball. Stakes are higher and it's chippier. And that was great context on the Dumars-Draymond Green relationship. Wendy, appreciate that. All right, you two will be back with us in just a bit because we've got plenty more on this situation with LeBron and Brooks back and forth.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Electric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa was placed into concussion protocol twice last season, missing 5 games. And this offseason, he trained with a jiu-jitsu coach and learned how to fall better with hopes of better avoiding such injuries in the future. So after all the concussions, did he ever consider retirement? Here's Tua on that.
I considered it, for a time, having sat down with my family, having sat down with my wife and having those kind of conversations. It would be hard for me to walk away from this game with how old I am, with my son. I always dreamed of playing as long as I could to where my son knew exactly what, you know, he was watching his dad do. It's my health, it's my body, I feel like this is what's best for me and my family.
There he is. Hi, Dan.
What's going on?
What's up, Dan? How are you, man?
I'm tremendous. I'm fantastic.
Yeah, you got this little Cheshire grin on your face. It looks like you've been hanging out with George Foreman. What's up? You all right?
He's happy. He's living the good life.
I'm great. I
like
love coming on. I love it.
It's a little spring sunshine.
Let's do it.
I'm into it.
Let's do it.
Dan, let's have some fun.
We got some decent weather. What's going on?
Yeah, we do. But this is obviously a serious subject. Dan, do you think it's the right decision? You played the quarterback position. How serious concussions are for him to continue playing?
I do. First of all, I loved what Tua said yesterday. I think we all had a pretty good feel and understanding that the retirement question was going to be a real one and real thoughts for Tua. And the transparency that he had in regards to it, like, yes, I thought about it. I loved. And then I loved even more when he was like, and then I'm going to play because I can't imagine not playing this game. And just speaking for someone or from my vantage point, like, I fell in love with the game of football as a kid. I loved it. I loved playing quarterback. I loved the role. I loved the pressure. I loved the center of attention. It's an addictive thing. And I loved hearing Tua kind of reference how important playing the game still is to him. I'm a big Tua guy, and I think the reality is this. When he was on the field last year, this was the best offense in football. Think about that. When I'm healthy, if I'm Tua, I'm healthy, I'm the best offense in football. I have the best yards per attempt, yards completion, touchdown percentage, passer rating. I finally am in a place where I'm supported and I'm the best, or we're the best in the league. I want more of that. And I go back to the initial concussion last year, which I believe was the hit versus Buffalo. And the reality is, if that situation was handled better by the team and the organization, I think we're having a very different conversation about Tua. And I was wrong. I think the day after I was like, Tua said it's his back. I'm going to trust all that, whatever. It was obviously a head injury. And if that was handled differently, I don't think we have this kind of cloud of darkness hanging over Tua in regards to what we saw on that Thursday night game versus the Bengals. So I loved his kind of comments yesterday. I think Tua is a very good player. I hope that he somehow is able to learn from this jiu-jitsu and kind of stay healthy this mm-hmm. year. But I think it's the right decision for him because he seems committed to doing that.
But it was mishandled. He was exposed. And, you know, I take no pleasure in saying this. I loved his press conference yesterday as well. I loved his candor, the vulnerability that he showed and he displayed, because he basically said that he's got a family to think about.
Sure.
He's the oldest of 4 children, if I remember correctly, to his parents. I believe he has a wife and a son. I'm not sure how many children he has. God bless all of them. But it's important to point out, and there's no easy way to have this kind of conversation, Dan. It's an easy argument to make that his life is on the line when he steps out on the field. And we're not talking about just because you're playing in the NFL. He had a concussion in week 3 against the Buffalo Bills. That is the bottom line. And they didn't treat it as such. What happened with him was criminal. He should have never, ever been allowed to stay on that field, even though he survived that game that Miami won. And he certainly shouldn't have been allowed on the field that Thursday night against Cincinnati when another hit, where his head hit the turf, and it looked like rigor mortis had kicked in. and his fingers were contorted and his body froze. It was a scary, scary sight to see. I would dare say to you that thank God Damar Hamlin is okay. But the only reason we didn't spend the rest of the year talking about that ad nauseum is because of what happened with Damar Hamlin. Because Damar Hamlin distracted a lot of our attention away from what had happened to Tua. Tua had three concussions, and here's how bad it is, ladies and gentlemen. He had the concussion against Buffalo. He was let back on the field to finish that game. He goes on Thursday night football. He has to be carried out in an ambulance. His parents in attendance, they got to go to the hospital, all of this other stuff. We didn't know what happened to him. He's out for a few weeks. He comes back. He's playing. But he completes another game. And right. Even after the game, and then after the day was over, it wasn't until the next day that he was diagnosed with a concussion. That's 3-1 season. We see how miniature he is. We see the punishment that he has absorbed. We saw Skylar Thompson's play in the playoffs against the Buffalo Bills. That wasn't Tua that lost a 34-31 matchup in Orchard Park against the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. That was Skylar Thompson. Tua couldn't play. And so now we sit here and we hear him. Got a family to think about. You got a family to provide for. There's plenty of dudes that would take those risks. You prioritize taking care of your family and earning a living. And damn it, if you get hurt, at least you got the papers so they can be taken care of. There's plenty of athletes that make those decisions. I'm just saying, let's be real about that. I understand he loves the game. You know how many people have walked away from the game that love the game because of his violence?
Yeah.
We know what this is about.
Dan, I just want to get your thoughts really quick. We have to go to break because I just saw this cross from the NFLPA that there's new injury data that shows grass is significantly safer than turf. Your thoughts on that?
Every player in the NFL knows that. And that's why every player in the NFL wants all grass fields. And the NFL should realize the cost to invest in all grass fields is absolutely worth it for the safety and the health of every single one of its players.
One point to make with what Dan just said, Molly, it's very important that we say this. Roger Goodell projected years ago that the NFL was going to be making $25 to $30 billion annually by the year 2027. And I'll be damned if he ain't on course to fulfill just that. Mm-hmm. With the exorbitant amount of money that the NFL is making, the owners, everybody, you can, and remember, they've upgraded, talk about the helmets and the safer helmets that they're putting out there and all that stuff. If everybody in the NFL knows that grass is safer than artificial turf, you spend the extra money and you do that.
Yep.